Moncrief on News Talk.
Starting on radio in the 1930s, the Lone Ranger is a fictional character who has had several TV and film iterations, but the Lone Ranger may have been based on a real person, one who was distinctly different to the Lone Ranger we know. Art Burton is a writer and historian, and he joins us now on News Talk. Good afternoon, Art.
How you doing?
Not too bad. Now, the person you think it may have been based on is a chap called Bass Reeves. Tell us where Bass Reeves was born and in what kind of circumstances.
Bass was born in 1838 in Arkansas Territory, and he was enslaved to a family from Tennessee. So he was a black enslaved African on a plantation.
Yeah, and the family who owned him, the Reeves family, how did he get on with them?
I think he got along with them very good. He was made the body servant of one of the sons named George Reeves. But when the Civil War came along, they had a fight and Bass knocked his master out. And that was punishable by death in Texas because at that time they had moved to Texas. And so Bass made a getaway and went to live with the Native Americans in the Indian Territory, which is not a state of Oklahoma.
Yeah. And how did he manage to do that, to go and live with Native Americans? And is it known why they accepted him to go and live with them?
Well, the Native Americans that had come from the Southeast, Andrew Jackson passed the 1830 Indian Removal Policy. All those Native Americans had Africans, either enslaved or freed Africans, or they were Africans within their community already. So Bass escaped to the Seminole and Creek nations in the Indian Territory, and there were quite a few free blacks who were living within those Indian nations at the time.
Ah, right. And so from his time with them, did he pick up a lot of skills?
Oh, yes. Yes, he picked up skills, how to ride horses, how to, disguise, how to track, and talk fairly fluently in those Indian languages. So he picked up quite a bit.
Right. Okay. And so then when did he begin his, and in what circumstances did he begin his career in law enforcement?
Well, after the Civil War, him and his family moved to Van Buren, Arkansas, an area near where he was born, and the federal court was in Van Buren, Arkansas. And he started giving his services as a guide to the deputy U.S. Marshals who had to work into the Indian Territory at the time. Indian Territory at that time was 75,000 square miles, and Reeves had been in that territory during the Civil War, so he knew it, they say, like a kitchen nose or you're like a cook knows a kitchen. So he was very familiar with it. And then in 1875, they asked him to become a deputy U.S. Marshal.
Right. Now, and this was in the South just after the Civil War.
West is considered the Southwest.
Right. But, yeah. Now, right. Yeah. But nonetheless, you kind of see the point I'm making. A black man who now has the power to arrest white people, was that unusual?
Well, he wasn't the first black who was given those powers. They had started giving blacks those powers in the late 1860s. And plus, you're looking at the era of Reconstruction in the United States, where African Americans were given a lot of political powers that they had never held before in the United States. It was a pivotal point in U.S. history, especially for former enslaved Africans who were given positions. So, but he did have to, work around a lot of people who were former Confederates, which was very interesting.
Yeah. How did he manage to do that?
He was very smart. He was very dedicated to what he was trying to do. And he walked the fence line. I mean, it was something he did because he did it for so long, 32 years. He's the only deputy U.S. Marshal I found to work from 1875 up to Oklahoma statehood in 1907.
And he was, as you say, he seemed to be enormously successful at what he did. Obviously, he had the various skills he'd picked up with the Native Americans. He was, as we say here, a fine figure of a man. He was 6'2". He was able to knock out his former slave owner with one punch. But he also seemed to be extremely scrupulous in carrying out his duties.
Right. He was very dedicated. He worked in disguise a lot of times to catch people. He would bring people back 15, 16, 17 at a time, where most deputies were only being 3 or 4 people at a time. And he did that throughout his career. So he was very good detective. He was almost, I guess, like a Sherlock Holmes of the prairie.
Right, okay. And is it known how many people he arrested in total?
In 1902, he stated that he arrested over 3,000, and that was still 5 years before his retirement. So it was over 3,000 felons he brought in, men and women who broke federal law.
Yeah, and did that include arresting people for carrying out lynchings?
He arrested at least three or four individuals I'm aware of who had lynched people, yes.
Wow.
And he also arrested people for lynching for horse and cattle theft, but for racial lynchings, it was three or four that I'm aware of that he arrested for parties.
And among those 3,000-odd people he arrested, included his own son.
Right. Yeah, his son committed domestic murder in 1902, and he arrested his own son.
Wow. And was the son found guilty?
Yeah, his son was found guilty and sent to the federal penitentiary in Leavenworth, Kansas, for life. But he did get out after 13 years.
You just wonder how the son felt about that. But Reeves had asked to go and arrest his own son. Is that right?
Right. Yeah, he didn't want nobody to get hurt arresting his own son. So he asked the U.S. Marshal to give him the warrant for arrest.
Right. Okay.
That's Reeves. He also arrested the preacher that baptized him for selling illegal whiskey.
Okay, and why was the preacher selling illegal whiskey in the first place?
The church got in arrears and the congregation gave him authority to sell whiskey to make up some money. But that didn't sit well with Bass.
Right, okay. And when did Bass die and in what kind of circumstances?
He died of ailment in 1910, January 12th, 1910, in his bed with his boots off.
Okay, well, that's a deserved way to go, really. Now, the Lone Ranger series started in 1933, as you know, on a radio station. Now, what do you think ties Bass Reeves to that series? What similarities are there?
Well, I thought it was very interesting. The deputy U.S. marshals were mandated to have at least one posse man with him, assistant, when they went into the territory. And many times, Bass' assistant was an Indian. So he had a lot of Indians that he worked with. He rode a white horse on one occasion. The Lone Ranger gave out silver bullets. Bass was known to hand out silver dollars. Bass worked in disguise like the Lone Ranger over an extended period of time. The people that lived in the territory didn't remember his name. They just called him the Black Marshal. The story of the Lone Ranger broke in Detroit in 1933. And previous to that, many of the felons Bass arrested were carried to the Detroit House of Corrections, where they were, in prison for many years.
So would he have been a well-known figure in Detroit?
I think the prisoners would have definitely been talking about him. And then if they had lawyers but that were representing them or giving them consultation, the radio station that started the story on the Lone Ranger, the gentleman that owned the station was a lawyer. So I think it's quite possible he could have talked to other lawyers in the Detroit area and started hearing stories about this.
All right. Okay. So he would have been aware of that. But of course, in those times, particularly, you couldn't have had a black man as a hero of anything.
No, not at all. That was the epitome of racism in the United States in the 1930s, 1940s.
Yeah. Does everybody agree with you that he may have been the inspiration for the Lone Ranger?
No. many people hate the concept or even the idea of it. Bass was much bigger than the Lone Ranger, though. I mean, Lone Ranger was a fictional character. It was probably the most popular radio character in early United States history, but Bass Reeves was the greatest lawman in the Wild West.
Now, you have written a book about Bass Reeves called Black on Silver Star. Like, I'm surprised he's not better known, given that he's a real person who did these things.
Yeah, I am too. I've been working with Hollywood since 1992, and they haven't been able to put anything on screen yet. But here recently, there have been some hack jobs, not very good depictions, but I'm waiting for a great portrayal sometime in the future.
Right. Well, hopefully when we're all out of the pandemic and it's healthy to do so, we'll see Bass Reeves on the screen. Art, thank you very much for speaking with us today. It's Art Burton there. He's an author and historian and the author of Black Gun Silver Star, The Life and Legend of Frontier Marshal Bass Reeves.
Moncrief on News Talk.
Every year, one thing is always predictable. Postage costs go up. Stamps.com gives you crazy discounts of up to 89% off USPS and UPS services, so your business will barely notice the change. Stamps.com has been indispensable for over 1 million businesses just like yours. It's like your own personal post office. No lines, no traffic, no waiting. Sign up with promo code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com code PROGRAM.